Praise God. Good morning. This morning we're doing something different. We finished Acts chapter 20 last week, but I have a message for the men today. Unfortunately, I don't see a lot of men here again, but that's okay. I see men here, and that's what matters. And so, what is it? 1763 is when that song came out, when they were worshiping, talking about revival. Yeah, that's amazing. Praise God. It was a beautiful song. We're going to be looking at Psalms chapter 112. But I do want to share Proverbs 20, verse 6. Now listen, men. Listen to this, ladies. It says, most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? If there's ever a time when our world needs faithful men, today would be that day. Would you agree? Yeah. Today. We need faithful men. And this morning's message is going to be directed specifically towards the men who are here and who have ears to hear. Not only what the Spirit is going to be saying to us, but to others who will be sharing firsthand. And that's what I really want to hear, is excited about those who experience godly men in their lives and in their homes, sharing what a faithful man is like. It's not a perfect man, okay? They're not going to share a perfect man, but they're going to share about a man who loves God. And I think we need to hear that this morning. And for you ladies here, those of you who are looking for a faithful man, you need to listen this morning and see what the Lord is speaking to you about. Because I know there's a lot of ladies who want to be married. There's a lot of men who want to be married. And if you do want to be married, then you need to be that godly man. So this ain't going to be a regular service. But I really believe that this service this morning is going to help your husbands. It's going to help if you have a boyfriend, your help the fathers, help the sons, help the pastors, the elders, those men in leadership. It's going to help us in our race, in this race that we're running in life. And it's going to help us to shape up. I really believe that. It's going to help us to shape up because it's going to bring this an examination in our heart, in our lives as men. Now, I know men don't like to take notes, right? So I'm going to ask you ladies to take notes for them, okay? You take the notes, and then you can pass it on to your husbands, and you can pass it on to the man who you came with. So listen, men, this message is for us. The Lord needs us to be godly men. Your wives need you to be godly husbands. Your children need you to be godly fathers. The church need you to be godly leaders. In our businesses, in our workplaces, needs us to be a godly witness and a godly example. So what the world needs today is the men who are going to behave godly. That's the bottom line. The world need godly husbands and fathers. We need strong, godly role models. And so I want to look at Psalms 112 this morning. Look at it. Verse 1. It says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generations of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness, and he is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends, and he will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken, and the righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of the evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established, and he will not be afraid until he sees his desires upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor, and the wicked will see it and be grieved, and he will gash his teeth and melt away, and the desire of the wicked shall perish. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you this morning. As we look to the Word, Father God, and as men, today is Father's Day. And I want to encourage the men, Lord. I want to be encouraged this morning, not only by the Word of God, the characteristics of a godly man, but I want to be encouraged firsthand by those who see that godliness within the home, and whether wives and fathers, and I want to be encouraged in reality of living that godly life. Two questions. One, what is a godly man, and what is a man that our God can use? So this morning, bless us, Lord, as we look to some simple facts, and may we be blessed as men of God. And we thank you, Lord, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, I think here, Psalms chapter 112, it's a pretty powerful chapter of scripture it was written by a man for men, okay? It was written by David. And David was often viewed as a man's man. And this was said about him because of all the great things that he did for the Lord and for God's people. And I think that is a man of God. A man of God is a man who has... is a man who does service for the Lord, but also he ministers to God's people. And I'm thinking about in your homes, dads. Your relationship, your devotion with God in your home, and your devotion to your children and to your wives within the home. See, David, he did great things for the Lord and for God's people. And I want to share a few of those things. You remember he was a young man when he took the life of Goliath. We all know the story, right? David and Goliath. And, you know, we don't want to hear that. But remember when he cut off his head? That did a great work within the people of Israel. And that's when David became this very young warrior for the Lord. David was also a family man. He had responsibilities of a wife and children. And like many men, this was one area of David's life where he lived out his greatest failures. He failed within the home. Because why? David allowed other things to distract him from the priorities and the attention that should have been given to his family. David was a businessman. He was a man of great responsibilities. He was, in fact, one of the most successful kings of all history. He was a builder, and he was an administrator. David was also a spiritual man. In fact, he was known as what? A man after God's own heart. David was a leader in worshiping the Lord. For a worship leader, he wrote most of the book of Psalms. He wrote 75 chapters, which are filled with worship of praises, and he even danced before the Lord. Remember in the Old Testament, it says he was dancing. And, you know, back then he was dancing. They made up their own steps. You know, he made up his own dance. So I can see him just doing this, you know. And that's what he was doing. He was dancing before the Lord. David was also a man who can relate to every man in this room today. And he probably experienced everything that you experience as a man today. And everything that he did, usually he excelled in everything. And I really believe that most of us here, men, we can relate to him as well. But I want you to listen to what David said about men behaving godly here in Psalms chapter 112. Look at verse 1. He says, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments." Now, I really believe when a man truly fears God and when a man truly loves God's word, that's when a man is on his way to behaving godly. It's when you have the fear of the Lord and when you love the word of God. You know what? Your life is going to be used by God. And why? We're going to look at some of the reasons why. Yeah. Okay. You want to know why? Okay, good. We're going to look at some of the promises that associate with a man who fears God and with a man who finds great delight in his commandments. Two things, guys. You want to be a godly man? Fear the Lord and love the Word of God. Those two things. Look at that. Look at what associates with that. Look at verse 2, because he tells us there is a promise concerning his children. Verse 2, it says, his descendants will be mighty on the earth, and the generations of the upright will be blessed. That's a promise concerning your children, man. Verse 3 and verse 4 is a promise concerning your character as men of God. He says, wealth and riches will be in the house, and his righteousness will endure forever. Unto the upright there arise light in the darkness, and he's gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. That's a promise concerning your character. There's a promise concerning your conduct. Look at verse 5. David said that a good man deals graciously and he lends. And he will guide his affairs with discretion. That's the promise concerning your conduct. There's a promise concerning your confidence as men of God. Look at verse 6. He says, surely he will never be shaken. Confidence. The righteous will be held in everlasting remembrance. Verse 7. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. Confidence. His heart is steadfast. Trusting in the Lord, confidence. Verse 8, his heart is established, confidence. He will not be afraid, confidence, until he sees his desire upon his enemies. And I'm sure if you seek the desires of the Lord, he said he'll give you the desire of your heart. Your enemies, you want them to be saved. That will be your desire, is that they will get saved. There's a promise concerning your charity or your love. Look at verse 9. It says, he has dispersed abroad and he has given to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever, and his horn will be exalted with honor. That's his charity. That's your charity as men of God. There's a promise even concerning your condemnation. Look at verse 10. He says, the wicked will see it and be grieved, and he will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desires of the wicked shall perish. And I really believe that the Lord tells us that God's not mocked. What a man soweth, that's what he's going to reap. I'm forgiven by grace. I'm forgiven. But God's not mocked. And I can't use that grace for the occasion of the flesh. I got to use it to as those are my lifelines to God for me to serve him. And when I do blow it, I know that he will forgive me. Now listen. I'm going to give you 12 characteristics of a godly man. And I want you to write them down. Okay. You wives, okay, write them down. Very important. I want you ladies to write these 12 characteristics of a godly man down. That way your husbands or the guys you are with, the guy that you want to marry, he can see if he's exhibiting these characteristics in his life. Okay? Okay, you ready? Okay, here we go. The first characteristic of a godly man, that is, he's a man of prayer. Write it down. Psalms 141, verse 2. David said, let my prayers be set before you as increase, and the lifting up my hands as an evening sacrifice. Men, Jesus showed us exactly how to pray. He showed us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. He said, Lord, he said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are we willing to be used as an instrument that God can use to get his will done here on earth, guys? Prayer is so essential for becoming a godly man. It covers every area of our lives. I'm talking about our relationship with him. I'm talking about our worship of him. I'm talking about our confession to him. I'm talking about our petitions given to him and our intercession that we bring before him, man. These elements of prayer are seen throughout the Bible. As you read it, you see it throughout the Bible in the lives of those who are always praying. God uses a man of prayer. That is a godly man, a man of prayer. The second characteristic. A godly man is a man of faith. He's a man of faith. And this is very important to remember, that the key to an effective prayer life is what? Faith. They go together. Prayer and faith goes together. And that leads us into the third characteristic of a godly man. And that is, a godly man is a man of God's word. Okay? A man of God's word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So listen, you can't have prayer without faith, because you have to believe whatever you ask for, he's going to give it, correct? And you can't have faith without God's word, because that's how you build your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So prayer, faith, and the word go together. A man that God uses is a man of the word, because it's the word of God that will change the life of a man. We see that clearly in Psalms chapter 19, when it tells us that God's word is perfect. It converts our soul. God's word is sure. It makes the wise the simple. God's word is right. It brings rejoicing of the heart. God's word is pure. It opens our eyes, enlightens our eyes. God's word is clean. It's enduring forever. God's word is true and righteous altogether, and more desire is it than gold, than sweeter than the honeycomb. And moreover, your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. So a man of God is a man of the word. The fourth characteristic, a godly man is a man who gives God all the glory. Got it? He gives God all the glory. He doesn't take any credit when the Lord does the work in his life or the life of those that he loves. If you remember Acts chapter 3, we talked about that with that lame man that Peter and John, he healed, that was always sitting at the temple and always begging, remember? And he said, hey, silver and gold I have not, but what I do have I give you freely. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. And he raised him up, and many people saw it. Many people came running and seeing this miracle, because they knew who this man was. And when Israel was there, Peter saw it, and he responded to the men of Israel. He says, hey, you guys marvel. Why do you marvel at this? As if you look so intently as us, as though by our own power, our own godliness, we have made this man walk. He said, no. He said, this man was made strong, who you see today, and is through the faith, and it was through Jesus Christ that he was made perfect. Amen. So a man of God is a man who gives God all the glory. A godly man, he doesn't take the credit. You know, he knows the power of his God. He knows that there's nothing too big he can't do, and there's nothing too small that he won't do. The fifth characteristic is, a godly man is a man that is spirit-filled. Okay, spirit-filled. You got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you want to be used by God, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then after you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you got to seek the Holy Spirit. You got to seek you got to seek him. He's your helper. Then you're going to walk in the Holy Spirit. You'll walk in the Spirit. And then you're going to be led by the Spirit. That's how it works. And we know that being filled with the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is what? What is the fruit of the Spirit?
Love.
Love, right? Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. So a godly man is a man that's filled with the Spirit, guys. He's filled with the fruit of the Spirit, with love. The sixth characteristic. Here we go. A godly man is a man who has boldness. He has boldness. He's not ashamed of who he is in Christ. He lets others know that what? He's born again. I was blessed. It was funny because Sister Terry, she posted that picture of me and Carmen dancing back in the days. I think that was your wedding. Was that your wedding? Okay. It's so funny because you see the response of everybody. We're so young. Man, I was just busting the moves, you know. But what's funny is it got my attention is somebody made a comment and said, "Is that a Bible in your pocket?" And I looked, and it was a Bible in my pocket. It's a big King James Version, Anointed Version, Family Bible. Okay? You know, I always carried my Bible around. So here where me and Carmen are dancing, the bump, you know. That was way back in the days. That probably wasn't the bump. Might have been the point. I don't know. But I had the Bible in the pocket, so you can actually see the Bible in my suit pocket, okay? Because a godly man lets others know that he's born again, guys. Romans chapter 1, Paul said it clearly in verse 16. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also for the Greeks." I experienced it firsthand. And because I first experienced firsthand, I'm not ashamed of it, and therefore I'm going to let everybody else know. That is a godly man, one who will let everybody know that he's born again. The seventh characteristic is a godly man is a man who submits himself to God. Totally. You're submitted to God. James 4, 7 and 8 tells us, "Therefore, submit to God." And when you submit yourself to God, guys, you're going to resist the devil. He's going to flee from you. Why? Because you're going to draw to God, and God's going to draw near to you. That is the characteristic of a godly man. Submit. He's submitted totally over to the Lord. He submits everything over to the Lord. The eighth characteristic is a godly man is a man who will not compromise. There's no compromise. There's too much compromise going on. Psalms 119, verse 1. Listen to what David said. And I'm going to share this out of the New Living Translation because I really like the way it sounds. He says, "Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his law and search for him with all their heart. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his paths. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully." I love the way the New Living Translation shares that. A godly man is a man who's not going to compromise. Guys, if you compromise, you're leading your families to compromise, because you're called to lead your families. And if you're going in that direction, they're going to follow you. And it'll be like the blind leading the blind. Be careful that you don't compromise, because that's one of the biggest tools that the devil will use. The ninth characteristic is a godly man is a man who is obedient. Obedient to the Lord. Now, you know the story of 1 Samuel 15. I love that story where the Lord told King Saul, the first king of Israel, "Go and destroy the Amalekites, go destroy them, the Hittites, the Jezebites, the Termites, and the Otticites, and all those site people. Go kill them all." He says, "Do not leave not one person alive. Kill the livestock, kill everything, and do not take any of the spoil." And Saul went in there, and he did what the Lord commanded him, but he took the king, and he took the best of the livestock. So when he was back at the camp with Israel, Samuel came, he heard the bleeding of the sheep, he heard the baa, and he said, "Saul, what is this that I hear?" And Saul said, "Well, hey, I kept the king, and I took the best sheep, because you know what? I'm going to take those sheep, and I'm going to sacrifice them to God. God surely will be pleased with that." Yeah, and he took them. And then Samuel said to him, he said, "Has the Lord great delights in burnt offerings and sacrifice, as in obeying his voice of the Lord?" So you can think you can look holy, you can look righteous before God in your acts, that you have to maintain it? No, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed the fat of the ram, for rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. When you think of that, Lord, am I committing witchcraft? When I rebel, purposely rebel against you, Lord, it's like doing witchcraft. He says, in stubbornness is the iniquity of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. A godly man is a man who's obedient. John chapter 14, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then in verse 23 through 24, Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Isn't that great? I think of Zacchaeus up in the sycamore tree when Jesus came. All those people, he was a wee bitty little man. He was like me. He was short, you know, and everybody was tall. And he's doing this, trying to get, you know, his looks to Jesus. And so he climbed the tree. And Jesus is walking by, and he looked up. Zacchaeus, come on down, for today I dine in your house. Can you imagine Jesus and the Father coming and making home in your house? Isn't that awesome? In your heart? He's in your heart? A man of God is a man who won't compromise and a man who's obedient to the Lord. The 10th characteristic. A godly man is a man who is a good steward in the things of God. When I think of that, I think of a man who has his priorities in line with the Lord. You got your priorities in line. Husbands, fathers, listen. Men, priority is like this. This is how I view it. First, it's my relationship with God. Then it's my relationship with my wife. Then it's my relationship with my children. Then it's my job. Then it's my ministry. Those are my priorities. And I believe that a man of God has his priorities in line with the Lord. And he's a good steward over the things that the Lord has entrusted to him. And what did the Lord trust to you? He said, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. His children, he entrusted his children that you would raise them up in the ways of the Lord so he will not depart, they will not depart from them. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10, listen to what Jesus said. He says, if you're faithful in the least of things, you'll be faithful in greater things. That's what I want. Lord, I want the Lord to do great things in my life. I don't want to just get by. See, my days of getting by was in high school. If I could just get a D, that was an A for me. Every time I got a D, that was it. That's not what God wants. God wants us to excel. He wants you to be the valedictorian in your spiritual walk with him. He wants you to get A's, straight A's, and some in your relationship. He wants you to be faithful in the things that he trusts you with. And then he'll give you greater things. You guys, you'll do things that you never thought you would ever do in your lifetime. I never thought I would ever leave San Diego, Golden Hills, South Park. Never thought until I got saved, going to the uttermost parts of the world, going to places I thought, wow, Africa, you know, I was the only Mexican there. I mean, over in China, I was like, I'm looking for Mexican. There was no Mexican. That was it. In fact, I had a cop one time. He said, Mexican? And I said, yeah. Oh, photo. All right. So I'm standing here like, you know, and he's taking a picture with me. You see, I'm sure I can see him now going around, look at Mexican, you know. It was funny. The 11th character. A godly man is a man who is a faithful servant. Guys, you're a faithful servant. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 through 4. Listen to what he says. He says, He tells us, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, and not by compulsion or willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Our God wants us to shepherd the flock and be the examples over those he entrusted with us, our families, our ministries. In Mark chapter 10, verse 44, Jesus said this, and this is for every one of us. He says, whoever of you desires to be first, then be the slave of all. You want to be great in God's kingdom? Be the slave of all. Jesus did not come to be waited on. He came and he served. He served. Maybe that's why the kings couldn't understand. If you're a king, where's your servants? Why aren't you being waited on? And here he is serving. He washed the disciples' feet. Wash your husbands, fathers, wash your wives and your children's feet. And we went to the marriage seminar once, one marriage seminar, and they were talking about washing feet. When I got home, I took my wife, I sat her down in front of my children, I had them all sit there, and I washed her feet in front of them. And then I washed their feet, and as I was washing their feet, I was praying for them, and my son, I said, you're my prince here, and I'm washing your feet, and my princess, and I'm washing their feet. Jesus said, be the servant of all if you want to be a godly man. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26, Jesus said this, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. We're talking unconditional love. And then the last characteristic. Listen, a godly man is a man who comes to the cross daily. He goes before the Lord every day, and he gives honor and glory to Christ. He's not a man pleaser. He pleases God. I'm not here to please you. I'm here to please God. And if I please God, you'll be pleased. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Men, listen. Here it is. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. That is a man of God. A man of God is he comes to the cross daily. Why? Because he wants to be transformed by the renewing of his mind. I want to think differently. I want to think the way the Bible tells me how to think, the way Jesus thinks. I'm tired of trying to figure things out in my own mind. I'm always saying, if you don't have God, then you're only going to get in you're only going to get as far as life as what you have in here. And with a lot of us, that's not a whole lot. That's it. But what God will do is he will take you further, because there's a transformation in your life. And you know what? Sometimes it's not always fun. It's not always great. But you're able to prove what is good and what is acceptable and what is the perfect will of God. That is the man of God. He comes to the cross daily. Now, I got a real blessing, and this is what I'm really looking forward to, is I thought, you know what, I can come up here and I can share these things, but why don't we have people come up here, and why don't we have them share firsthand their experience of what a godly man is like? What is a man of God? What is a godly husband? What is a godly father? So I asked a few people to come up here. I'm going to ask them to come up here right now. Come on up here. Where are you at? Some of them said, they couldn't, I guess they're not going to make it today, but I want, Irene and Aurora to come on up here, and they're going to share, and then, their experience of what the Lord has shown them, what is a godly man. And this is, and they're here to encourage us men. This is for us men. They're going to share their, what they feel, what a godly man and a man that God will use is like. So come on up here, and you guys can, you got the power of the mic.
Hi, good morning, family, and happy Father's Day. And Tony didn't know I was going to be up here, so he's probably going, what you going to say? He's going, oh my. So, and you know you're old when you wear contacts and you still need reader. So here I go. A few weeks ago, Sarah sent a quote to our family. We have a little text thread that we send out, and she usually throws in little scriptures and quotes, and this was a quote that she sent, and it says, "The question is not if we will leave a legacy, but rather what our legacy will be." And we will all leave a legacy, but this is especially for you fathers and all of us, because we all have influence and we all can be an example to others. So and my devotion this morning, Charles Stanley writes, "Leaving a monetary inheritance for our children isn't nearly as important as preparing a spiritual legacy that is invested over the course of their lives. But how we choose to devote to the formation of our heirs' faith is up to us. It's a choice we make every day, and every day what we do affects the legacy that we're going to leave on after we pass." In Proverbs 22:1, it says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. That's our reputation. That's our legacy. So personally, as a wife and a mother, as a sister in the Lord, and I have been truly blessed. My husband loves and fears God with all of his heart. Sorry, I didn't know I was going to cry. And he loves me just as Christ loves the church. Many times I don't deserve it, and he always speaks highly of me. And so I am truly blessed. He's taught our children to love and trust God and obey God. They didn't always listen, but that's when we pray, right? And let God do the work, because it's God's work, not ours. But we can be an example. And as a father, as the head of the house, you have the opportunity to be an example of who Christ is. And we've made many mistakes along the way. But God's abundant grace and mercy has carried us through. Our children grow up quickly, and time passes, and we don't know how many days we have on this earth. We need to use our time wisely and ask God to guide us, give us the wisdom and strength to train our children to be an example to those around us as fathers. You know, God has equipped every one of you to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to be able to fulfill the purpose and plan he has for your life. What legacy are you preparing to pass on to your children, to your grandchildren, to your family, to friends, neighbors? That's something we should all examine every day. Every day is a gift from God, and he wants us to be the salt and light of this earth. So as fathers, I pray for all of you that you would just love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we went to our son-in-law's college graduation yesterday, and the scripture that the pastor shared at the end of the graduation was in 1 Corinthians 14:58, and I just thought it was appropriate for what we're sharing today. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." because your labor is passing on that legacy to those that he's placed in your care. Thank you so much. It's 1 Corinthians 14:58.
Thank you.
Love you all.
I need glasses too, so. Okay. I have my Kleenex ready, so. All right, my scripture is Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So here I stand, old, and I have not departed from it. I'll speak to you about my father. His name was Jesus Miguel Bravo. My dad was orphaned at 5, and he was raised by his older sister. His older brother, Isabel, first came to the United States here in L.A., and it was when he was here in L.A. that he heard the gospel, and he converted to Christianity. And when he returned to Mexico, my tío Isabel ministered and spread the gospel to those people in his area there in Guanajuato, Mexico. And one of them that was heard the gospel and converted was my maternal grandmother, Ernesta Pimentel. So my father was orphaned, like I said, raised by his older sister. And then he had very little education. So when he was 18, he came to the United States, and he started working in the fields, and then he started working for the railroad. So it was during that time that I'm sure his relationship with the Lord grew. And so then 25 years later, he married my mother, Eloisa Martinez. And he was living in Nevada then. And so he brought my mother to the United States. And in 7 years, my parents had 5 children. So because my mother had no family members close to her, my father was her, like her tag team. My mother said that when she would bathe us, that she would hand us off to my dad, and my dad would dry us off and put our clothes on, because, you know, it was just the two of them. So that's the images and memories that I have of my father, a very gentle man, a very nurturing man. He loved the Lord. He worked hard. He always provided a home for us. We always had food in our home. And so he also was highly respected by our family. My dad loved to fish, so whenever he went fishing, he always took us and called our cousins, who wants to go fishing? And of course, everybody wanted to go, because my dad always went to the store and bought chips and sodas and everything else. And because he wanted to go out by himself, and so he would let us stay behind and make our own little picnic, and he would take off and he'd go fishing. And he loved to fish, and he had just such a patience for fishing. He could be out there in the stream for hours. But anyway, my father passed away in 2001. He was 96 years old. He was a godly man. All these things that I wrote down, I was like, check, check, check for my dad, because he loved the Lord. And because of the fact that he always read his Bible, I have a picture of him sitting on the edge of his bed with his Bible open, and he would be reading his Bible, and then he would sing a hymn, because he loved to sing, and he would sing a hymn, of course in Spanish, and then he would get down on his knees and he would pray. And so my father, when I moved to California, I always made it a point every Sunday, I would call them to see how they were doing. And I would always say, Dad, pray for me for this or for that. And he goes, Mija, I'm always praying for you. So my father was an honorable man. He was a kind man. He was a gentle soul. And he guided me to God's heart because of the example that he left. And he was, and because he was older when he started having children, he was very mature. He was very patient with us. And one of my other scriptures that I've shared in the past is Ephesians 6:4, which is, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." And because of the fact that my father was mature when he started having children, he wasn't a teaser. He wasn't, do things to, you know, make us cry or whatever. He just loved us. And I'll share with you his scripture that he loved was Psalms 91:1, which it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And so that was my father. He was a great man. And he loved the Lord, and he always encouraged us and admonished us to seek him and to love him. And I know he's in heaven, and I will see him one day. So thank you.
Yeah, Aurora, she's, we go way back. And often, you know, she would share her testimony. She has a beautiful testimony, and I look at her and, one of the greatest testimonies. And one time we were talking, and I have to share this. I said, "Hey, I'd like to share your testimony." He goes, "I don't really have a testimony. I never did anything like this. This I was raised in a Christian home." And I said, "That is the best testimony ever, to be a teenager and to walk in the ways of the Lord. To be raised in a Christian home is the best testimony ever." And I wish I could say that I had that type of testimony. Instead of having to come up here and see all the turmoil and all the junk that I went through. But I was, I didn't have a relationship with my father. He was in the military, so he was in the war, and he was always gone. And so there were six of us, and we were raised by my mom. And so we really, again, did what we wanted. I remember in the seventh grade, my mom used to tell me, "Hey, if you're not coming home, call me so I can lock the door." And there's times when I wouldn't come home. We'd go to L.A. or go somewhere else. And but I was thinking, with my dad, I saw this movie the other day, and there was something that there was a man. He was really wealthy and well off, and he had two daughters, and one he favored, the younger he favored, and the older daughter, she knew this, but she was in charge of, he was having his birthday and getting all this, the preparations, and right before the party, he asked her, why are you doing this? And she said, "What do you mean? You know why? This is your birthday." And she said to him, and it really just kind of hit home to me. She says, "You know, Dad, I want you to know that I love you. And I know that you have your favorites. I know you have your favorite." And she said that when you look at my sister, you just glow, and she brings smiles to you. And then when you look at me, I look at you, and you look, you have that look of wonder what she wants now. And she says, he wanted to say something. She says, no. She says, "That's okay. You are allowed to have your favorites. But the point is, I want you to know that you always been my favorite, and that's all that matters, is you've been my favorite." And I thought about that, and with my dad. I didn't have a relationship with my dad till the last 3 years of his life, when he accepted Jesus Christ in his heart. And never once in my entire life have I ever heard my dad say he loved me. And I share this story. One time I told him, I said, "Dad, have I ever told you I loved you?" And he said, "No." I said, "Dad, I want to tell you, I love you." And he looked at me, and you know what he said? He said, "Thanks. But that's okay." I was hoping I'd get out, "Well, I love you too," but instead I heard, "Thanks." But he did accept Jesus Christ, and I said, "Okay, God, now that he accepted you, you can take him home," and the Lord did take him. The point is that he was my favorite. He's my favorite. He's our favorite. the best dad that we can ever have. So dads, be encouraged by these scriptures, not to bring conviction. They're to bring a goal that we as godly men, dads, husbands, men of God, the type of man that God will use is a man who follows after the word of God, follows after the Lord. Amen. So enjoy your time with your families, guys, and make sure that you pray and like Irene said, laying down that legacy. What legacy are you laying down? I'm going to pass my heritage down, and that's going to be God. I might not be able to pass down monetary things or great things, but I am passing down my relationship with Christ, and that is the greatest thing of all. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you this morning.